Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. It's our April 2017 edition of our show. Happy to have you listening. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the MC of the show. We invite you to call in and read a poem. The number is 646-716-7362. Call in. You can direct connect via Skype or the direct connect button on the webpage as well. We have no content or style restrictions. We just want to hear your poetry. We hear what you have to say, a new poem, an old poem, poem of questionable age, and I'm going to want to know what's going on in your poetry world. Tell us about your latest book, a poem you just got published somewhere, a website that you like to put poetry at. Perhaps there's a really cool event going on in your town, poetry event of some kind. Give us a call. Tell us all about it. The number is 646-716-7362. It's April here in the United States. It's National Poetry Month, but I would like to invite all the countries and the rest of the world to feel free to adopt that as well. We'll share. It's for you too. It's International Poetry Month, let's just say. Worldwide Poetry Month. It's Planet Earth Poetry Month. If you'd like. I mean, I don't know that that's up to me to make that decision, but I'm more than happy to share it with you. And with that in mind, we've been publishing a poem every month. Sorry, that's not at all what I meant to say. We've been publishing a poetry writing prompt every day. Yes, that's correct. Since April 1st. You can see all of the different writing prompts that we published on our website. Go to poetrysuperhighway.com/PSH. And sure enough, there you'll find all of the prompts that we've published. There's a little box in the upper right-hand corner which shows you what today's writing prompt is. And there's a menu, a special menu, special projects menu where you can see all the past posts. And they're all there. Why do we do this? Because maybe you do this too. You might participate in NaPoWriMo. Hashtag, where you decide that you're going to write a poem every single day during National Poetry Month. You may not need writing prompts. You may just be doing this on your own. But in case you're looking for an idea of something to write, you're looking for a new idea, perhaps even if you are writing poems all the time without any help, it's pretty cool to see, to get some ideas of other ways to do it as well. So every single day we're publishing a writing prompt on our website and in the Poetry Superhighway Facebook group. These writing prompts were submitted by many, many Poetry Superhighway readers. We got about 100 in, I think, and of course there's only 30 days in the month, so I had to pick 30 out of the 100. Tough decisions there, because there were a lot more that I would have loved to have used. But so every single day we're taking one of them, we put them up, and invite you to read it and use it in your own NaPoWriMo activities, or perhaps, well, if you do write a poem for one of these, well, the other thing that we're asking, inviting you to do, is to post the poem as a comment to that prompt's post in the Poetry Superhighway Facebook group. So as I mentioned, all these prompts are being posted every single day. It's what, the 23rd of the month today? So the 23rd prompt just went up this morning Pacific time. And there's been a couple people, I really want to call out a couple of people who every single day have written a poem to these prompts and have not failed to to respond to in the Facebook group with their poems. So Ree Sheridan Rose, every single day she's posted her poem in response to it every single day. That's 22 so far, not today's yet. And also Catherine Darangowski, congratulations to both of you for so far writing 22 poems. That's incredibly awesome. And we've got 7 more to go. One will be posted today. If it hasn't already, I thought it was, but I didn't see it in the Facebook group, so maybe I need to check into that. And we'll be posting one all the way through the 30th. So that's 30 poem ideas for you. What else is going on? Well, let me tell you. We are we just published our 19th annual Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue today. Actually, it went up yesterday, officially published on the dates of tomorrow through next Sunday. We've done this every year for 19 years. Holocaust Remembrance Day this year is tomorrow, or technically starts tonight in the Jewish calendar. And every single year for all these years, we've invited people to submit poetry responding to the Holocaust. And we've published many, many, many poems. Today, we have 55 poets up in this special issue. So normally we publish only 2 poets per week, chosen from emailed submissions to Poet of the Week. We suspend that limitation only for this special issue. I just feel it's important to that this event be remembered and thought about by as many people as possible. So instead of publishing 2 poets this week, we've published 55, and you can read all 55 poems on our website at poetrysuperhighway.com. If you're one of the people in the issue and you happen to be listening, I'd love for you to call in and read your poem. It's not the theme of today, per se. Anyone can call in and read any poem about anything. But if you happen to be one of those poets, if you have a poem on that topic, of course, you're welcome to call in and read that as well. Last thing I want to tell you about before we get to our callers is we are just about ready to start soliciting prizes for our annual summer poetry contest. I think it's our 21st annual contest, maybe 20th. I forget. I lose track of how many years these various things have been going on. I'll find out. I'll let you know. But every year we have a poetry contest over the summer, $1 per poem entry fee. The winner, the top 3 winners take 100% of the entry fees taken in. None of that money goes to us. It just goes right back to the winners. And also, thanks to the generosity of many, many sponsors, we have been able to give every single person who's entered a prize just for entering. So the way we do that is by soliciting prizes from you. So if you've got a poetry book or a handful of poetry books or anything which you think would be of interest to poets and writers, I invite you to think about that. The submission form isn't quite open yet, but pretty soon it will be. We're going to be starting the contest a week or two earlier this year than we did in previous years, partially because of the different vacation travel schedule that I'll be on. So we'll be starting the call for prizes a little bit earlier, and I invite you to think about what you might want to offer. Some good benefits as a sponsor of the contest. We give you a free classified ad in our weekly newsletter, which goes out to thousands of people, as well as on the website for the duration of the contest. It's about 3 minutes of a poetry and writing related classified ad. And your name will be listed as a sponsor, and you'll help to make our contest one of the most fair and accessible contests to everyone. In that, as we've done every year, hopefully we'll be able to give every single person a prize just for entering, in addition to the cash prizes that the actual winners get. All right, so that's it. That's everything I have to tell you. We're going to get to our callers now. The number to call in again is 646-716-7362. Please call in. We'd love to hear your poem, and we'd love to hear what's going on in your poetry world. Our first caller is a blocked number. Hello, blocked number.
Rick.
Yeah.
How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Oh, this sounds
awesome,
like
buddy boy.
Alex from Canada.
You know the voice very good, no, sir.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I actually memorized the vocal patterns of everyone in Canada. So pretty much anyone can call in from north of the border, and I'll know exactly who it is. I don't mean to make you not feel special, but how are you doing?
It's just that gift you were born with, Rick. I mean, like, everyone knows you have that special gift and talent, so.
I guess they do now. How's life north of the border today?
North of the border is about 8 degrees Celsius and a little bit of sunny weather, and the plants are starting to come up and the grass is getting green, so it's good, right?
That sounds good. What's 8 degrees in Celsius? What does that make it in Fahrenheit, roughly? Is that an unfair question?
Probably about 48 to 50 degrees in that range.
That's not bad. I just checked online while you were talking. It's 46.4, in case anyone wants to know, which, being a Southern Californian, doesn't sound very good. It still sounds colder than I want it to be. But you're saying it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be probably right now about 12, 13 degrees, but today is on the cool side, so.
Okay. I was, by the way, you have a poem in this week's poetry, Yom HaShoah issue, and I was pleased that you sent it in, and even more so because I actually saw how to spell the name of your city for the first time ever.
Oh, cool. That's not the one that I brought with me today, though, Rick. I don't have that one on me handy right now to read, though. I wish I did.
It's not a problem. I just was pointing that out.
But thank you so much for including my poem in there, Rick. That's very nice of you to do that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, what do you have first today?
Something that's very touching, something that's very current with what's going on in the world, and it just came to me the other day, and it's something that, Rick, I wrote up at work in like half an hour, but when people hear this, they're going to go, holy mackerel. And the title, Rick, is called Right, and it goes like this. Daddy asked his daughter, what's the most important thing in the world? She replied, love. Hit the nail on the head. Smart cookie is this girl. As from this does all emanate. It starts and stops here. With it, much is possible. Without, there's loss on all fronts. Creativity comes to a standstill. Little one asked her father, don't we all have such feelings? He stared into her eyes. Maybe once, a long time ago. Then how can we make this right? Came the words from innocence. We all need to remember what brought us in the first place. Don't most want to be happy, to be in a state of peace, to venture forth with a smile on their face, instead of a frown of despair? As she saw the light, she wondered what the problem was, why we were not already there. But then she heard of ego. With this comes impediments, a gigantic wall that keeps us from our calling. But if it's man-made, why can't we fix it? This takes consensus. If we all could just agree. Like we talk things out? Yes, exactly like that. If we can, then anyone can. If we are all only mature, right? Right. End poem.
Great,
Rick,
Alan,
that can
thank
be
you.
Applicable. That can be applicable father to daughter with what's going on just between them, what's going on in your own country, what's going on between the United States and North Korea, between Syria and what's going on in their six-year war, what's going on with the famine in Africa, what's going on anywhere else that has conflict right now. Because, Rick, we have, in what I've always told people, We have one of the best brains going if we only used it. If we go beyond the 5% potential that we've only used as a caveman, if we go to even 10%, Rick, guess what? There's no more ego, there's no more war, there's no more famine, there's no more killing, there's no more aggression. We all live in peace as John Lennon wanted us to be, and we start becoming and coming close to the potential that we have as ascended beings. That's my message for today, Rick.
It's good to know. Let me ask you a question. This is more less about the content of the theme of your poem, and more like a down and dirty aspect of the piece, of the actual format. The poem ended with the word right twice, right? And I'm just wondering, so when you spoke the poem, when you read it to us, the intonation, the way that you read it was really clear what was happening. How do you put that on the page so the two rights make sense? Is there a way to delineate the pause? Is the punctuation different? Just how does that work?
If in the last line I said if we all are only mature, and then I put a comma, and then the first word right is all in capital letters, and then another comma, and then right again is all in capital letters, and then a period. And all that is to do, Rick, is to be for wanting the intention of exclamation, of saying we are not at 5 minutes to midnight anymore, Rick. We are 5 minutes after midnight. And yes, North Korea says with the United Nations last week, we are all now in a state of threat of thermal nuclear war. Well, why the hell is that? Because we're so friggin' stupid? Because we don't recognize the gift that we have and the earth that we have and the life that we have and how much it is that it's an honor and a privilege to be on this earth, and how we should treat the earth and to treat all life and all people, man, woman, child, and to treat all living things with the same honor, dignity, and respect? Because that's the problem in the world right now, Rick. People have gone for thousands of years, and especially the people in the Middle East, my God, Rick, it's so ingrained. They're born with a weapon in their hand, it almost seems. Do you know what I mean? They're born with a hatred. Is that supposed to be inherent in our spirit? Of course not. That is something that is meant to be there because it's a controlling factor on the human consciousness. Without the fear, without the anger, without the war, we start thinking about the higher energy levels and what we're capable of doing. These negative energies with hatred and with aggression, they keep us down, Rick. They keep us heavy. They keep us away from what our potential is. And our potential
Alex,
is.
Sure, I appreciate you sharing that message, and I'm certainly glad that a poem came out of it, and I appreciate you joining us today as you do every week, and I hope that your message doesn't fall on deaf ears.
I hope we all live to see another day and to see the earth not be treated the way it's been, and that we all come together, Rick, in a circle the way the United Nations is supposed to be, Rick, and everybody lives in a circle, in a sphere of peace, love, happiness, and harmony, Rick. That is what my wish is for the world and for the greater macro for the universe to be, all in peace and one.
It's a beautiful message. Alex, thanks so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you next time. That was Alex from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, reading a new poem. And as I mentioned, he also has a poem in the in today's Holocaust Memorial Day issue as well, the Yom HaShoah issue, which we put up yesterday, which includes 55 poets. Moving on, our next, the number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Plenty of time for you to get in and share a poem. Don't be shy. What an awesome thing it is to have the chance to share your poem with people. Maybe it's something that you just wrote that you want to get out there and see how it sounds as it comes off your lips and tongue, or maybe it's a one that you're really confident about that you've had for a while that you want to share with our audience. Call in, area code 646-716-7362. Our next caller is from the 913 area code. Hello. 913, are you there?
Yeah, this is Tina Hacker. Is that who you're calling? I'm 913.
Hi, Tina. Nice to hear your voice.
I have a poem in the Holocaust issue, which thank you very much for publishing it. I always think of that it's an honor to be in this. I was in last year, too. I was going to read it, but I decided to read another one that talks about veterans. I've been a poetry editor for a magazine called Veterans Voices for 35 years, and it started out as a project for veterans who were wounded after World War II, but now it's open to all veterans. I'm not a veteran, but I wrote this poem, and it was published by Kansas City Voices. I do want to say just maybe, I'm losing it on my computer, that the title of the poem that I have in the Yom HaShoah issue is Where the Chips Fall, and a few people wanted me to change the name. They said, oh, that's way too lighthearted for this, you know, very dark poem. And but that was how the Holocaust was. Very often, it was just luck that saved your life more than anything else. And I thought Where the Chips Fall really got that idea across. The poem I'd like to read is called No Purple Heart. It's about the fact that the Pentagon passed a rule that veterans with PTSD, and I just lost it again, would not be eligible for the Purple Heart. And what I can say is that the smoke just came out of my ears hearing that, because so many of our veterans have PTSD, and it's very serious, and it should be respected as a serious illness, not just something that people are, let's say, imagining or something like that. Okay, no Purple Heart. Having trouble getting my computer to really... Oh, come on. Okay. No Purple Heart. And this is a little bit of introduction. The Pentagon has decided not to award the Purple Heart to veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Kansas City Star, January 12, 2009. Blood flows down his arms onto fingers fighting the urge to hide inside a fist. He squeezes his eyes shut, takes shallow breaths to block the brackish odor. There is no blood. He knows that. Remembers the joke he was telling when the IED shredded his buddies during his third tour in Afghanistan. He knows. He knows. But tries to wipe away the blood he sees on the floor. Wonders if he can sacrifice it to some ancient god. He hopes the blood won't dilute words on his honorable discharge papers, stain job applications, blur a marriage license. And that's the end.
That's great, Tina. Thank you so much for sharing that. And 35 years you've been editing this magazine?
Well, let's see. I started in 1976, and for most of the years, there were two poetry editors, two prose editors. The last 5 or 6 years, I've been the only poetry editor. The magazine called Veterans Voices comes out 3 times a year, and it's part of a project that you can learn more about online called the Veterans Voices Writing Project. It used to be the Hospitalized Veterans Writing Project, and it started right after World War II in 1946. The veterans were bored silly in the hospitals, and so Writing Aids went in and started helping them write poems and stories as something to do and to get their emotions out, no matter how they felt. We publish poems and prose that are for government, anti-government, pro-war, against war, and then also a bunch of non-war related subjects. You can really write about just about anything. And the idea is to help people get their ideas and their thoughts and emotions out and help both the readers and the writers.
That's so cool that in general, and also that this has been going on for so long, and that you've been involved with it for so long. So thank you for all the work that you've done and continue to do on that front.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I'm happy to do it. And I want to thank you for doing this kind of edition every year, the Holocaust edition, and for all the things that the Poetry Superhighway does. It's a great site, great bunch of ideas. You never know what's going to come up. So, again, that's about it.
Cool. Well, Tina, thank you so much for calling in and for your kind words, and I hope to talk with you again.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Tina Hacker. Oh, I forgot to ask where she was calling from. I suppose I could look that up myself. But she has a poem in the current issue that we just published for Yom HaShoah, and obviously from what she just read and the things that she's involved with, she's not a one-trick pony, and has dedicated a lot of her creative life to, it seems, to highlighting creatively the struggles of others. So very cool. I just looking on the website now, it looks like Tina was calling from Leawood, Kansas. So there you go. The information superhighway has triumphed again with what it has provided me in my ability to tell you. So check out her poem online, Where the Chips Fall. It's a good one. There's a lot of good ones in the issue that I published, that we published yesterday. So it should keep you quite busy reading all these poems. And it's a really good time to do it with Yom HaShoah coming up tomorrow. All right, the number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. We're at the half-hour mark of the show, and as we like to do when we can, in this part of the show, we highlight a spoken word track. Here's one from Marula Blades called Ms. Betty.
She used to sing to memorize notes between the wind silences. Tones of red, dripping triplets to splintered slats, where the muted sound of color stretched under bony fingers like tribal knots. She used to sing to warm the dank, dark pulse of ink. Thumping a wilted beat in her parade in a garden, where only the stubble of wheat grows, and rainworms float, waterlogged in sheer stocking-like skin. Weddings of color to throw top hats like daffodil coronas. dispersing swollen black seeds to pollinate the journey through. She used to sing. Winter's lash from her raw skin, and to hush the noise of felling trees. She fell, her yellow skirt ballooned like the sun, spearheaded bushes ripped twill, the yellow sag, for a year a snagged lone flag, flapped on a treetop. A wooden steeple painted plate with a handful of waxed hair. She shines birch inside the sheen. A waif like finger tracks 80 wide groceries as the moon's light blinded by snow. She's
That was the track Ms. Betty by Marula Blades, a spoken word track. Played that in the past on the show. We try to play a spoken word track at the half-hour mark of the show every month if we have something new, and sometimes an old one like that one as well. If you've got something that you think you might qualify for this, please email it to me at rick@poetrysuperhighway.com. An MP3, please, is what I'm looking for. I think there's something interesting that happens when we take our poetry to just a level just beyond just reading, a straight reading of the poem. Of course, if you want to do a straight reading, you can just call in. But the spoken word tracks that we're looking for have some other element to it. There's sound effects mixed in with it. You have mixed in some music with it, or even if it's a live recording of something that recorded at a live reading somewhere, where the spontaneous nature of your interaction with the audience, their reactions, etc., they create the extra elements which make it a live track. Anything beyond just a straight reading of the poem, which again we invite anyone to do in our open reading here. Put it together in an MP3, send it to me at rick@poetrysuperhighway.com, and I'll consider playing it here on the show. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Poetry Superhighway Live. It's our monthly open reading sponsored by Poetry Superhighway. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the MC of the show and the guy behind the Poetry Superhighway. The number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Our next caller is another blocked number. Hello.
Hello, Rick. This is Michael.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm in the library. I'm not in a car. I'm not driving. And I'm going to step right outside. But I'm definitely going to get in today because it's National Poetry Month. And I'll make it real short. I came up with something that I thought would be appropriate. And so, you know, Monday was the 17th, was International Haiku Poetry Day, which was implemented 10 years ago in 2007. And over at the Haiku Foundation, they had a rolling, they call it Earth. Anyone interested can go over to the Haiku Foundation website. It's Earthrise Rolling Collaborative Ongoing Haiku Thread that day. I liked it because it was global. These were poets who love haiku. Haiku is like a second language to them. Maybe I should even say a native language. But my reading for today, an Ars Poetica in three lines. The need to breathe, the need to read and write poetry.
Wow. Michael, is always
did it take your
so
breath
much...
away? Did it take your breath away? You didn't say anything.
I was just letting it sink in. Sometimes it's the silence after the musical notes, which, you know, accentuates what it is that just happened. And what I was about to say was
I was in good humor when I said that. I'm glad it took your breath away because that's these short poems, Marco poems. Well, you know, you manage and have made possible Haikuniverse.
Yeah.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, haiku, which, by the way, is a great neologism for the name of the project, the ongoing everydaily haiku recognition, and probably some of those poets who have been there, whose names appear there throughout the years. How many years has that been now? 3 years, Haikuniverse?
I think Haikuniverse is I don't think it's quite 2 years old. I think it's just shy of 2 years.
Well, you know, I would be a little bit surprised, and a lot of those names that appear there were part of the collaborative thread, haiku thread, Monday the 17th. It was a wonderful experience. Especially coming after the day after coming, Easter was the day before, so coming the day after Easter. And before we move on to the next caller, because you probably have other callers, thank you for allowing my poem to be a contribution again this year to the 19th century annual Holocaust remembrance issue.
Oh, I'm really glad you sent something in, Michael. I'm pleased when people... not just to publish it, but the people, you know, the writers themselves, including yourself, think it's important enough to participate in it. Did what you wrote this year, was it a new piece? Was it
It was a new piece.
But
it was a new piece. I think what influences me somewhat is about a month before or sooner, I think it was back in February, we have a Holocaust Film Festival at the library where I am now, and they show us about four films, and there's a professor who speaks about them. I think that's somewhat influential. The technique that I use this time where I book in the poem with the superscript and a subscript, technique-wise, I think I've done that recently with something else. But I don't know, that's how that one came about. Also, one of those two quotes were influential. The term was Wandering Jew was influential, and I wanted to say something redemptive about that, which hopefully the micro poem succeeded in doing that. Okay, well, you probably have other callers. I'm glad I could get in today to voice for National Poetry Month.
Yeah, likewise, Michael. Thank you so much for for calling in, for reading your poem, and for, you know, just for your ongoing participation.
All right, and thank you for making it possible. You have a good week, a good month, and hopefully talk to you. What's the program for May?
The date for May for this show is Sunday, May 21st, 2
okay,
o'clock p.m.
Talk to you on the 21st. Hope to talk to you on the 21st.
All right, sounds good. It was Michael calling from Birmingham, Alabama, a repeat offender, as it were, here on Poetry Superhighway Live. Always typically a short poem reader, or reader of short poems. I don't know how tall he is. Sorry, I can't help myself sometimes. Has a particular affinity for haiku and senryu and that kind of thing. And though he didn't send a prompt in this year, I don't think he did, or maybe we didn't pick it. I don't know. But the last couple of years, actually, he's had a special writing prompt, which has also appeared as part of our prompt a day project for National Poetry Month, that coincided with the 17th International Haiku Day. So there you go. That's thanks for calling in, Michael. The number for you to call in is area code 646-716-7362. Open lines, love to, plenty of time for you to get your poem in and tell us what's going on with you in poetry with the 20 minutes or so we have left in the show. Actually, 18 and a half, if you want to be specific about it. So call in, area code 646-716-7362. Read a poem about anything. Maybe you're nervous about it. Don't be nervous. You could do this. You could do this. Michael mentioned Haikuniverse. I always forget to mention Haikuniverse when I tend to think of it as a separate project of poetry from Poetry Superhighway, but it's actually a project of Poetry Superhighway. So go to haikuniverse.com. That's Haikuniverse, Haikuniverse, sort of combining the words haiku and universe with only one U in the middle there. Started, I should look at the date, but I think it's a little less than 2 years ago. And since it went up, I've managed to publish a haiku or short poem every single day. And you can read it on the website, haikuniverse.com. You can read it on the Facebook page at facebook.com/haikuniverse. Or you can get it in your email box. There's a daily email which goes out, the Haikuniverse daily email, which you can sign up for either on the Facebook page or on the website. And every single day you will receive an email roughly 11 a.m. Pacific time, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock Eastern time. You do the math if you live in a different time. You'll get an email with one very short poem in it. I'm pretty liberal with what I put up there in terms of it's not restricted to the traditional and classic definitions of haiku. Very often the piece will be labeled haiku by and then the author's name, but it isn't necessarily a traditional haiku. It might be just a 575 piece, which doesn't necessarily use some of the more traditional Japanese elements of a haiku, such as its attention to the season or including natural elements. It might not be a 575 at all. It might be funny. It might be future-looking. It might be past-looking. And it might sometimes very specifically fall into the traditional elements of a haiku, being short and including natural images, etc. We're pretty liberal about what we consider the haiku. Our interest is in what you can do in the very short form. That's why we think there's a power to that, regardless of whether it's traditional haiku or not. So, if you'd like to submit something to Haikuniverse, it's pretty easy. There's a submission form right on the website. Just go to haikuniverse.com. Click on submit, and there's a little form there. You enter your name, you enter your email address, you type in or paste in your poem, your one poem into the form, And there's a little checkbox that says where you have the chance right there to join the Haikuniverse email list or decline if you prefer. And click submit. That's it. What we ask people to do, this is right on there, but sometimes it's missed. So if you're listening, I'd be happy to communicate this to you. We ask that you only submit one poem per form. So if you'd like to submit three haiku or three short poems, that's fine, but do a separate form for each one. It's very easy to fill out these forms. It's, you know, again, just your name, email, and the poem. So it's not like there's a lot of paperwork to do for each one. We can't process entries if multiple poems come per form. And we'll decline it if you do, and ask you to redo it one per form. It's kind of set up so there's an easy system for us to be able to schedule the ones that we accept to publish, and we can't do that if there's multiple poems in there. Anyway, just follow the guidelines. That's probably the best advice I could ever give anyone who is seeking advice on how to get published. When you're sending work out to any publication, please follow the very specific submission guidelines which that publication has published. Odds are they're different or slightly different than any other publication, and they're all set up, speaking as an editor here, to help us manage the very large influx of submissions that any editor receives for our publications, whether it's an online publication or a print publication, etc. I've seen, I guess I haven't seen it that much recently, but I remember when I was first submitting work, very often there would be one of the items in submission guidelines would specifically say, if you don't follow any of these guidelines, your submission will be deleted or thrown away unread. Again, it's you really owe it to the people who you're asking to read your work, to consider publishing it, to send it in the format that they ask for. If they say no attachments, don't send attachments. Put it in the body of an email. If they say put it in a Word doc and don't put it in the body of an email, then put it in a Word doc. If they say include a third-person bio, then don't write a first-person bio. If they say your bio has to be a maximum 100 words, then by God, don't send in 105 words. Send in a maximum of 100 words. If they say send in three poems maximum, then for sure you should only send in three poems maximum. Any time you stray from the guidelines, it makes the editor, and I'm speaking from personal experience as an editor, it makes us wonder if you actually read the guidelines or if you're just simultaneously sending the same submission off to a bunch of different people at the same time. There's a phenomenon on Facebook with that, as any of you on Facebook who are in any poetry-centric Facebook groups, you've probably seen, where someone will come along and post a poem in a Facebook group and then post the same exact thing in you know, 5 to 10 other groups, rapid fire, all in a row, without actually meaningfully participating in the group, or meaning you don't really read anything else that's there, etc. I completely understand the desire to get your poetry out to as many people as possible. In fact, that's the mission of the Poetry Superhighway, to expose as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. Again, speaking as an editor, you really owe it to the people who are you're asking to do this work to follow the guidelines that they send in. All right, so anyway, that's Haikuniverse for you. We've been doing that every day for a couple of years. Oh, I think we also tweet the poems. In case you're on Twitter, you can see the poems at twitter.com/Haikuniverse. I think we are. I'm doing so many things, I have no idea what they all are, and I only remember when a deadline comes up and I have to do it. Well, I don't do this often, but I'm actually going to read a poem for you on the show. Before I do it, I just want to remind you that the number to call in if you'd like to read a poem in the remaining 10 minutes of the show is area code 646-716-7362. Please call in. Love to have you on the air and hear your poem. In the spirit, sort of Holocaust Remembrance Day, there's a poet, an Israeli poet, named Zelda, and he passed away about 20 years ago or so, who wrote a poem called Each of Us Has a Name, which is nine stanzas or so. And this particular poem is has become kind of part of the traditional literature of the Holocaust ideology. It's not the right way to put it. If there's a Holocaust Remembrance Day event, in particular in Israel, this poem is often read in the original Hebrew in Israel, and it was translated to English by a woman, an American poet, San Francisco-based, I believe, named Marcia Falk. So check it out. Each of Us Has a Name. Zelda is the name of the poet. I was challenged by a friend of mine who gives me writing assignments every now and then to write another version of it. And I've been on a quest the last few years to kind of to look specifically at different Jewish literature and rewrite it in kind of a modern sensibility. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook, but every Friday for the last couple of years, I've posted a poem which specifically relates to the Torah portion of the week. This year, actually, this Jewish year, I wrote a poem every week last Jewish year for the Torah portion. This year, I've been writing a haiku, or seven haiku for each of the parasha. Each story in the Torah is divided up into seven parts, and I've been writing a haiku for each part. Anyway, so this was kind of a new and challenging assignment because I wasn't asked to write an interpretation of an ancient piece of liturgy, but actually to write a take on a relatively modern poem, at least relatively modern compared to the ancient liturgy, which I've been writing poems after. So Each of Us Has a Name was written probably in the 1950s or 60s by this poet, Zelda, but certainly after the Holocaust. And this poem that I'm going to read now is my response to it. It's not, although the person who requested it kind of wanted me to write something for Holocaust Remembrance Day, it didn't really come out as a Holocaust Remembrance Day poem. It's more of just a response to the concept of Each of Us Has a Name, and further, it was written kind of in the same form that this poet Zelda wrote, in that there are nine stanzas, and kind of each theme of my poem is kind of linked to the themes of her poem. So I recommend you check out the original, Each of Us Has a Name, and here is mine. This is called Each of Us Has a Name, after Zelda. Each of us has a name. You should know what yours is, and if you don't, you may not have been paying attention to your parents. Each of us has a name. It may be Phil or Sarah or Neville or some exotic combination of letters dreamed up in the moments before your birth. Each of us has a name, and it is yours forever. Even if you use the laws to adjust it, the people who knew you first will not adjust with you. Each of us has a name that you can shout from a mountain, and maybe the stars will hear it, or even just one star. Each of us has a name, and like a commandment, you shouldn't take it in vain, or no one will take you seriously. Each of us has a name which sometimes the people who aren't on your side learn first. It burns on their tongues. Each of us has a name which we put on our papers, which we sign in our books, which we use to say, look at what we did. Each of us has a name which goes unspoken by those without language, but they know who you are. Each of us has a name. We dream of lasting longer than our carbon allows. It goes on a stone when we're gone. End poem, as people like to say when they finish reading a poem here on the show sometimes, so there isn't an unusually awkward pause while I wonder whether the poem is actually ended. Again, that's my poem, Each of Us Has a Name. One more spoken word track take us out. This is called I Drink to Thee.
Even though we are from different worlds, for over a decade, by my side. You have always stood, giving up a life, during the light, to be with me in the dark of the night. Me never worrying that you would ever flee. Never a complaint, never a harsh word. You never saying anything derogatory, even though you could. So I raise my glass to you in reverence as I drink to thee. This heart I'm not supposed to have. You bring such happiness to my unholy life. You have chosen freely to, on this night, to forever be with me, joining me in this unholy existence. You freely choose to be my wife. So, for your courageous sacrifice, my love, I drink to thee. When I was a living being upon this earth, a toast was a great way to honor someone. Since then, things have really changed. But I do honor you so, the love being the key. You choose the undead to be with me, never again feeling the warmth of the biggest star, the sun. For all the happiness you freely bring to me, darling, I drink to thee. I cannot describe to you what you bring to the undead, the happiness you and I share. Over everything, you decided that you would choose me. So tonight, we become one. You not hesitating to join me. You act as if about this you haven't a care. I raise my glass to you for the love you bring to me. I drink to thee. You, standing before me, you come into my arms. No questions. Now I inflict the fatal bite. You wanting to be with me, this being your only wish, your only plea. Entering my world, you show no remorse of any kind of fright. So the warm, dark liquid in my glass, I raise to you, and I drink to thee. This night will always be remembered as a night in which we became one. I could not say no to you being in my life, because this is the way I feel it should be. There is no turning back now, as our lives together has begun. So for this unselfish, loving choice you freely made, I drink to thee.
And I drink to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to the April 2017 edition of Poetry Superhighway Live. My name is Rick Lupert. We'll be back May 21st at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, for our next edition of our worldwide open reading. I hope you tune in. I hope you call in and read poems. Thanks very much to Alex from Canada, Tina from Kansas, and Michael from Birmingham, Alabama, for calling in and reading poems today. Don't forget to check out the Yom HaShoah Holocaust Remembrance Day issue, which is online now, and write some poems for the rest of National Poetry Month. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.